Hello, EcoMobile. My name is Gretzky Ubaldo. This is a podcast project of Communication Studies 430 Advanced Concepts in Intercultural Communication at California State University, Long Beach, Fall 2007, by the group of myself, Gretzky Ubaldo, James Moore, and Nobuharu Kuanu. In this podcast, we would like to introduce the unpresented faces of Hawaii. When you Google Hawaii, you may find many advertisements and travel agency websites that promote how heavenly and perfect the life of Hawaii can be. Yes, it is a really good sight to see, but that's only one feature that Hawaii has. In reality, it is accurate to say that Hawaii has many parts. Our focus in this podcast is looking into that and finding out what is the real Hawaii. According to most official tourism sites of Hawaii, the first Polynesians that arrived on the land of Hawaii was about 1500 years ago, and centuries of no contact with no parts of the outer world. The first European who stepped into the land of Hawaii was a guy by the name of Captain James Cook, the explorer of England. It was a huge impact for the history of Hawaii. Since then, Hawaii started receiving significant European influences. In 1810, Kamehameha I became the first king of the Hawaiian dynasty. This dynasty lasted for 84 years with 5 kings and 1 queen. And in 1898, Hawaii was annexed into the United States as a foreign territory. In 1959, Hawaii finally became the 50th state of the United States. Today, Hawaii is the one most renowned resort islands in the world. The history seems to be written by a neutral perspective. However, the true voices of Hawaiians are rarely told in the mainstream history books. Is Hawaii saved by the United States? We have no way to know how today's Hawaiian could have been without the conquest of the United States. We are looking into the real Hawaii by interviewing a Hawaiian native, Kristen Shimabukuro, to explore Hawaiians' identities. Is Hawaii a paradise resort or something more than that?
First of all, we would like to take a look at what Hawaiians think in regards to their cultures and their Hawaiian cultural identities today.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here with Kristen Shimabukuro from Hawaii, and today we're going to talk about Hawaiian culture. What part of Hawaii are you from?
I'm from Honolulu, but more specifically, Kalihi, central on Oahu.
What is the most common misconception of Hawaii?
Probably that a lot of people think we live in like third world conditions, like we don't have running water, electricity, we live in grass shacks, we wear coconut shell bras and grass skirts, which even in the ancient Hawaiian days, no one wore coconut bras.
Where do you think that concept came from?
From probably all those TV shows that white people made. And they conveyed that part of Hawaii that's not even true to begin with.
I heard of this term, haole. I guess it refers to people of the white ethnicity. What is the big deal with that? Why is most Hawaiian people annoyed at haoles?
Well, first of all, the origin of the word, it directly means foreigner in Hawaiian, but now in Hawaii, when you say haole, it only refers to white people because white people were the first foreigners that were known to Hawaiians. So now haole is the term used for white people, and I guess you can say in general, haoles or white people are the most made fun of in Hawaii. The white people overthrew our government and forced us to become a part of the U.S., but on a less serious note, just their attitude, their superiority that they try to convey, stuff like that.
Okay. Should Hawaii be a part of the USA, or do you think it should go back to the way it used to be and be its own country and its own island?
Well, as much as I love Hawaiian culture and as much as I think it should be known and be kept as a distinct culture and a distinct place, I do think that it should be remained as part of the U.S. because without us being a part of the U.S., our economy would not be anything. We would like really struggle just to get by. You know, we rely heavily on tourists and stuff like that. And I think without, you know, the advertising and without us being a part of the U.S., just like being able to fly there would be totally different and difficult. And shipping everything that we have there would be difficult and all that kind of stuff. So despite, you know, how much I'm proud of Hawaii and all that stuff, and I think it should, like I said, it should be a distinct culture, I do think that it should be part of the U.S.
Okay. Do you feel that Hawaii is a dying culture?
Well, I think, you know, a few generations back, the Hawaiian culture was more about Hawaiiana. And I think now it's a kind of a mixture of Hawaiiana as well as a lot of the other immigrants who's moved there, their culture. So it's like Hawaiian culture plus Japanese culture, Filipino culture, and it all kind of mixed together into what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it changed over the years, not necessarily for the bad, although I do wish, you know, there was more education about Hawaiian, just Hawaiian.
I remember in elementary school we were learning more about Aztec culture and Native American culture. Do you think that it's more important to learn about Hawaiian culture than it is Indian?
Well, I think they're both important to people in the U.S. because it's part of the U.S., but I get kind of disappointed when I find that people in the mainland learn about other cultures from other countries and they know nothing about Hawaiian culture when we're part of the country, and a lot of people don't even know we're part of the country. That is really disappointing and irritating.
What else do you find disappointing about what you guys call the mainland, the rest of the 49 states?
That's probably the main thing, is the lack of education about our culture. Like, kind of what the ancient Hawaiians has been through in terms of the overthrowing of the government.
I gotta skip over to sports, and I just recently found out that in college football, the WAC division decided to penalize the University of Hawaii next year if they continue to do the pregame ritual. For those who don't know, the University of Hawaii, before every game, they do this dance called the Haka War Dance, and it dates back with the Hawaiian culture. And I was just curious on what your thoughts were of the WAC ruling. Do you think it's fair, or do you think it's not?
Well, I honestly haven't seen a UH game in a while, and if they're just not letting them do the dance because they don't like it, then that's totally unfair. But if they feel that their dance is being disrespectful to the other team, then I can understand that. But as far as I know, I don't see how they are disrespecting the other team. So I am really disgusted by that, because again, the U.S. is taking away the culture that Hawaii has, and what little we have left, we need to take pride in that, and we, you know, whatever opportunity we have to share it with others, especially others in the U.S., like, we want to share the culture with other people, we want to educate other people in the U.S. about our culture, and if they keep taking away whatever little we have left, then pretty soon we're going to have nothing.
I noticed that you have a accent, if you don't mind me saying that. What is that called, and like, is there a form of language that you guys talking about?
Well, there's a slang that's spoken in Hawaii, and it's called pidgin. It came about when there was a large number of immigrants that moved over to Hawaii, and it's kind of a mixture of like Japanese, Hawaiian, Portuguese, Chinese.
Okay.
Filipino. There is a Hawaiian language also in Hawaii, but it is a dying language, and I don't really know that many people who can speak it fluently.
it seems like everywhere, in restaurants or anything that's fast food, anything that is Hawaiian has to have pineapple on it. What's the big deal with that one?
Anything that's Hawaiian that has pineapple is not Hawaiian. Everyone in the mainland thinks that pineapple equals Hawaiian. You know what pizza that has pineapple is called in Hawaii? It's called Hali pizza, which means white pizza. Because that misconception is hilarious, because people are so stupid that they think that.
Ever since Hawaii was merged into the United States, Hawaii has been following the US-based political system. Is it workable in Hawaii, or is it hurting Hawaiian and Hawaiian cultures?
Speaking about overthrowing the government, I remember I was doing some research on the Hawaiian culture, and the name Queen
Liliuokalani,
her name kept on reappearing. And what exactly did she do? Like, what was her big impact that she had on the Hawaiian culture?
Well, she was queen during the time of the overthrowing of the government, and it's been a while since I've opened up a Hawaiian history book, but as far as I remember, she was in communication with, I don't know if it was the president at the time, but someone, you know, in the White House. There was kind of an understanding that though it might be a territory, we would still have our own rights and our own laws as it was at the time. Like, we could keep the same laws that we had. But they betrayed her and totally overthrew the government, kicked her out of the Iolani Palace, is where she was living. You know, took away all the rights that the Hawaiians had and everything like that. So she's very, very important for our history. You know, she went through a lot during that time. She lost her everything.
Okay. Do you think that Queen Liliuokalani took the overthrowing in a dignified way, or do you think she could have done more?
I definitely think she took it in a dignified way. I think a lot of times when people fight over land, people fight over money, they do things that are really irrational. I don't want to talk about war in Iraq right now, but that's just an example of what people do when you fight over oil, when you fight over land. And I think that she did everything in her power in a dignified way, in that she did not use violence, yet she was very passionate in saying that she wanted to keep Hawaii for what it is.
I've heard some statements said by other Hawaiians, and they think that Hawaii was saved when it became the 50th state. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I totally disagree with that statement. When they were overthrown, they were doing fine in terms of economy, in terms of just everyday life. They were doing completely fine.
In what other ways do you feel like the government or today's society is taking away from the Hawaiian culture?
I would say we don't have enough funding for education, and I think that's really important. I mentioned education earlier, but this sounds corny, but we really need to, like, pay attention to the young people, because they're gonna be the leaders. And I know that sounds really corny, but it's true. And I think that we need a lot more funding in education.
After a century of the governance by the United States, what are some social issues that became significant to the islands? What are some deficits of being part of the United States for Hawaii?
What do you feel is the biggest problem that Hawaii has?
It's the economy. It's really bad. Just, you know, if you compare buying a house there and compared to buying a house, like, pretty much anywhere else on the mainland, it's way more expensive. And, you know, everything that we have is imported from the mainland, so everything is a lot more expensive. Land is really minimal, so everyone fights for land, you know. That's just how it's going to be no matter where you are. the education is really bad, and I think that is because of economy. You know, they can't pay teachers well enough. People don't want to be teachers. So once a place has bad economy, it just brings a lot of other problems into it.
I hear that the crime rate, the drug use, and the violence rate is skyrocketing nowadays. How is it doing now, and what do you think are some ways that Hawaii could take control of exactly what's going on?
Well, this question goes hand in hand with the previous question in that, like I said, when community has bad economy, then there's going to be a lot of other problems. And I think some of the problems that we face because of bad economy is violence, it is drug use, and stuff like that. You know, once there's a bad economy, people aren't getting paid as much as they should, depression comes in, then that could lead to violence, it could lead to drug abuse. You know, there's a lot of teen pregnancies, the young mothers can't afford to raise their children, the mothers are depressed, the children are depressed. It just, having a bad economy just brings a lot of problems.
I remember looking up something in the internet where Hawaii is mostly populated with the Caucasian ethnicity. Do you think this has to do with the economy?
Yeah, I would say so, because the people who flourish the most in Hawaii, sadly enough, are people who move there, who are first generations from the mainland, and they actually can afford to live there. So I think that's really sad, because Hawaiians, people who've been there for many generations, can't afford to live there anymore because of generations and generations of bad economy, of lack of opportunity, lack of education, lack of job opportunity, lack of land to buy housing and all that stuff. And I think it's sad that the only people who are actually comfortable are people who are from the mainland, from other countries, and those are the only people who are flourishing there.
In this podcast, we captured real Hawaiians by interviewing with a Hawaiian native, Kristen Shimbakuro. We found that there are unrepresented aspects of Hawaii. We mainland U.S. residents will never see those surfaces of Hawaii on the travel advertisements. However, they are realities and strictly tied to the everyday lives of local Hawaiians. We are hoping that this podcast will help to serve you a better understanding of Hawaii. We would like to conclude this podcast by Kristen's plea as a voice of Hawaiians. This was a podcast project of Communication Studies 430, Advanced Concepts in Intercultural Communication, at California State University Long Beach, fall 2007, by the group of Gretzky Ubaldo, James Moore, and Nobuharu Kawano. Thank you for your attention, and mahalo.
Close out this interview. I was wondering if you have any final thoughts that you would like to say to the rest of the 49 states, or what you guys call the mainland.
I would just say, if there's any teachers listening to this, please educate your students about Hawaiian culture, because we are a part of the U.S. No one really knows anything about Hawaii, and I think it's really disappointing, and I would just like to see more people educated about Hawaii.